Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
First, read something to you about the word shalom. It's from the book The Perfect Gift from Chris Gore, who has seen a lot of miraculous healings in kids and people with mental health issues. So I'm just going to read this to you and just receive. Keep your spiritual eyes and ears open to this, because the Lord wants to show something to you and minister to you today in this. In John 14:27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." The word peace in ancient Hebrew is shalom, which when studied further refers to the spirit that destroys chaos. When you study the word leave in the original language, it means bequest, which refers to the action of a rich person giving over his or her entire inheritance to someone. Knowing that, we can now read this passage as to say, my peace, my shalom, my spirit that destroys chaos, I leave and bequest all to you. Jesus has already given us the peace of heaven. We see this verse further come to life in the story recorded in Mark 4, 35 to 41. The disciples are in a boat with Jesus during a storm. They've already seen some tremendous miracles, but they are freaking out in the boat and think that they are going to die. They wake up Jesus and he simply says to the storm, peace be still. And the storm is instantly calmed. I'd like to propose that Jesus was showing us that we can really only have authority over the storms of life that we can learn to rest in. Many of us are not in rest because we have so much turmoil, strife, fear, and chaos going on in our own life that it's pretty hard to create an environment of peace for our families and our children. The peace that we carry as parents is transferable to our children. And we can only give away what we know we've got. If we think about it, any sickness or conditions is actually just chaos in our body. Thanks to Jesus, he has bequeathed to us spirit that destroys chaos. And I'm just going to sing a song over you. And this is a simple chorus that you can also sing over your family and over your own spirit.
Oh, Grateful for you, Lord God, because you're the one that has the answers. You're the one that has the creative ideas, Lord, and you're just thinking so much bigger than we are, and you're not worried at all. You're not worried. So, Lord, we just want to tap into that as much as possible, Lord, because we need that, Lord. We need that, Lord, that refilling. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Thank you all so much for coming. Like I said, there's bulletins back there that have the words, but it also has announcements. And anything that I might miss or that you might forget during the week, you can look on that bulletin to see. I also want to let everyone know of these really cool connection cards that we made. And this isn't for us to be intrusive and like email you every week and tell you something that you need to buy or do. It's really just to update everyone of the things that are happening. And we're just so amazed of the people that the Lord is connecting to us as the well to come into this space to just, what's the word? When you give and bless, impart. Yes, to impart really amazing things. So these are just your name, email, just so we can give you email updates. You can also do the option of text reminders, and that is literally just us saying, hey, we're snowed in, don't come today, or oh my gosh, there's a really cool thing happening for you to come to. So that's what those are there for. We also have something very special called the Gap Ministry right over there, and if you notice, there are diapers there, and all of us women who have been mothers ever, remember the beginning, and there are many, many diapers. So if you remember that and you want to bless other moms, a part of the Genesis Women's Center, helping single women with their beginning of being a mother, and that's going to be going to them. We also have something I am very excited about called the 31-Day Declaration Challenge that's happening in August, and we have been doing this with our family every night, and I do it on the, I'm going to actually show you this. There's two sides to this, and I tend to do the 25 declarations at night with my kids, because sometimes, especially my youngest son, he gets a lot of anxiety, he lets his thoughts and his imaginations take over, and it just goes to a really dark place. So what we've been doing is we have been doing these 25 declarations with our family every night before bed, just to redirect the thoughts, to get us into a place of peace and hope before we go to sleep. So these are the declarations, but we're doing a declaration challenge where you guys can choose 10 that are on here or make your own, like Kedron did, and she made some really cool ones that are on there that I really like. But you guys can do the ones that are on this page or make up your own. And I'm going to actually do 5 today that I picked, and they're actually on the bulletin, today's declarations. And we're going to actually just practice doing it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say the declaration, and then you all are going to repeat it. And it seems a little like unnatural at first to do this, but the more we do it, the more natural it becomes, and the more it really does affect the way we think about ourselves and how we interact with others. So we're going to do this. If everyone can get out your bulletins, and if you don't, try to remember what I said and repeat after me. So number one, because God is with me, the people around me experiences love and power. Because God is with me, the people around me experiences love and power. My family is blessed. My family is blessed. Because I love Jesus, angels are working for me. Because I love Jesus, angels are working for me. Bad things are turned away from me because of Jesus' protection. Bad things are turned away from me because of Jesus' protection. And my favorite one, I am a person of peace and bring peace to those around me. I am a person of peace and bring peace to those around me. All right, thank you guys for doing that with me. And we just started this really cool, because we're just trying to figure out how to bless people the most when we're here in this space. And we started this situation where we made that room there the prayer room, if you guys see that little sign there. And what we're starting to practice here on Sunday mornings is if anyone needs prayer, we're going to have you go over there after service, and then someone will be with you to pray. And that way it's not distracting from all the voices of people chattering out here and just being in a separate place to receive prayer. So that is right over there. A couple of quick things to put in your calendar. Next week, August 21st, Sunday, Kedron will be speaking, our very own Kedron. And she is a life coach, but she also does integrative health and a lot of practical things that we could use as tools. I'm sure the Lord's going to show her specifically what she wants to say and share for this time, but it's something we don't want to miss. It would be a good Sunday to bring someone who hasn't been here before, so just keep that on your calendar. Also, Jake Kale is going to be speaking Friday night, September 16th at 7 p.m. And this is something very special because he's kind of part of the Hopewell Network and the Dove Network, and he has really been used by God to just see people free in different things that they're caught up in. And he's an author of multiple books. He speaks at churches, conferences, retreats, and other events. He preaches and teaches the word with authority, compassion, and demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power. We went there as a family, and just were so blessed by there's just a calm authority about him. And a lot of times when there's things in us that we need to be freed of, it's a little bit, we can be a little standoffish, but his ministry is just calm, and he has that authority. And it's often marked by encounters with God, healing, and deliverance from demonic oppression. So this is a safe space for any of that to happen that he ministers in, and he does it just so, so beautifully. So I'm going to go to the next situation, which is the offering. The basket is in the back. I always forget to say that. It's in the back. You guys do what you need to do when you're back there with the basket. just listen to the Lord. I think that, and I said this before, sometimes we're like scared we can't hear the Lord, and we all, every single person in this room can hear from the Lord and does hear from the Lord. And that is the truth. We just need to have our heart in a place of saying, Lord, I want to hear from you. I don't want to turn my face and be scared to hear you, Lord. I want to hear you. And then he will speak to you. So we're going to pray over this. So everyone, let's just close our eyes, and we're going to pray over the offering. Lord, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit, that you are able to speak to us in so many different ways, and you speak to all of us in different ways, Lord. And I just pray that we would not be afraid to hear your voice, that you are not a God of judgment and condemnation, That's another situation, and that is the enemy that does that. That's not you. You are a heart, you have a heart of a father who wants to just build us up and let us grow, and you know how to speak to us, Lord, and we just say, Lord, we're open to actually hearing your voice today, Lord. And we also pray for the offering, Lord, that you would just continue to grow us in this community as so people would just know that we would be a well of just being able to, a well of being able to help people financially, a well of hope, a well of giving, a well of healing, that people would know this is the place that they can just take in and receive and be blessed. And we want to be known as that, Lord. And being financially able to bless others is one of those pieces, Lord. So we just pray over this offering that you would supernaturally bless it, multiply, and that it would actually go to where you want it to go, Lord. In your name, amen.
Amen. So good morning. As Kate said, this month we have the Declaration Challenge going on. We've been focusing on declarations. And it's important that we remember that they're not incantation that bring about changes in our circumstances, but rather, as Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So these declarations are meant to increase our faith, to change us, and to bring us into alignment with what God says and what he intends to do for us. Last week, Matt shared a message about declarations, and he shared what he called a cheesy phrase. He said that we want to turn our coping skills into hoping skills. And we remember that hope is the belief that our future is better than the present, and that we have the power to make it that way. So instead of learning how to deal with our problems, how to cope with our problems, we want to learn how to overcome them by our faith, by coming into alignment with what God's plan is for them. Matt shared last week that the amount or the level of our hope depends very much on whether we believe the truth, God's word, or lies. It can be said that fear is actually the opposite of faith. If we're fearful, we're actually believing more in the things that we don't want to happen than in the things that we do want to happen. We're believing more for the bad things than for what God has planned and promised for us. So I want to continue today in this theme of declarations, and we're going to look at some of the declarations of one man in particular. In Acts 13:20-22, it says, "He," and that's God, "gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they asked for a king, so God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as a king, to whom he also gave testimony and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will.'" David was a man after God's own heart. And I relate to David and identify with him, not just because I share his name, but because I also see myself in David's weaknesses and in David's failures. And one of the things that's so great about the Bible accounts of David and so many other champions of the faith in Scripture is that it's very transparent and very open that they were far from perfect people. God didn't use them because they were perfect. He perfected them to be able to use them. David's failures and indiscretions and shortcomings are well documented. But God judges the heart, and David had a heart after God. You know, you sometimes hear people refer to somebody saying they're a lover, not a fighter. David was both. David was a lover and a fighter. He's perhaps one of the greatest worshipers, one of the greatest lovers of God, and one of the greatest warriors fighting on behalf of God in all of Scripture. David was a lover and a fighter, a worshiper and a warrior. And God is also a lover and a fighter. His love for us is well documented and well demonstrated. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we all know God loves us. We believe that, I hope. Yet the most often used name of God in Scripture, it occurs 261 times in the Old Testament, is Jehovah Sabaoth. And forgive me for my attempt at Hebrew pronunciation. It's also known as Yahweh Sabaoth, which translates to the Lord of the Host, or the God of the armies. Romans 16:20 says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Jehovah Shalom, we heard about it and we had Shalom sung over us. Jehovah Shalom is also Jehovah Sabaoth. God is a lover of his people and a fighter for his people against any who come against us. Romans 8:31 rightly says, if God is for us, who can be against us? To better understand David's heart, we're going to look at some of the Psalms. These are declarations of worship and warfare, of a lover and a fighter. But before we do that, last week Matt shared 10 things that can cause us to lose hope. And he showed us how the Lord's Prayer answers those things. The 10 things are these: feeling alone or abandoned, that life seems out of control, that you don't see any purpose for your life, grieving a loss. And I just want to take a minute to talk a little bit about grieving before we complete that, because with grieving and mourning, you know, it's not wrong for us to grieve a loss. Sometimes people think that we should just get over it. Even after somebody has gone many, many years after losing a spouse or a child, that grief doesn't fully go away. It's not wrong to grieve. God created us with a need for community, companionship, and fellowship. After he created Adam, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. Matthew 5:4, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he says in Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know, and that verse is, it's more than a nice quote that belongs on a Hallmark card. It's a promise from the very God of creation. The God who created us and is well aware of our grief and our mourning. He will bless us. He promises to bless us if we focus on him. So if we go back to the list, the rest of the things that can cause us to lose hope. That you don't have the things that you need. That you've done something wrong and feel guilt. That you've been wounded by somebody else. That you feel pulled in the wrong direction. That you're afraid. And that it looks like you're defeated. So I encourage you to check out the podcast from last week to hear or to review how the Lord's Prayer answers each of these problems. But today we're going to look at Psalm 23, a psalm of David, a man after the heart of God. A declaration by David that also answers many of these problems. It begins saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not be in need. Or some translations say, I shall not want. I won't need anything. I don't have to want for anything because in Christ I have everything I need. In John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly. We have all that we need. Verse 2, He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. You know, and though our life might seem out of control, I can rest in Him. Just as, again, Kat shared, we need to learn to rest even in the midst of the chaos and the turmoil. In Matthew 11, 28 and 29, Jesus says, Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Verse 3. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I can't walk on the wrong path if I'm walking with Him. Because if He's the guide, He won't take me where I shouldn't go. In Matthew 7:13, Jesus says, Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. And in John 14:6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We can't walk in the wrong path if we're walking with Him. Verse 4 says, Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. So we're not abandoned, He's with us. But we have nothing to fear because even death is merely a shadow. It's a shadow between this life and eternal life with God in heaven. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 5 says, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. You know, and the oil of the Holy Spirit, the picture here is that as a shepherd would put oil on the wounds of the sheep, the Holy Spirit heals our wounds. Heals all the wounds that have afflicted us. And it's our enemies, not ourselves, that are defeated, while we victoriously feast with the Lord. Verse 6 says, Certainly goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever. God's goodness and His faithfulness cleanses us from our sin. And again, we're not alone because we're with Him forever. In Matthew 28 verse 20, Jesus says, Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Psalm 91 is another powerful declaration by David regarding the protection and the provision of God. He says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilent that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me. This is God's response to the declaration of David. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The one thing I want us to take away from those declarations is that these promises of protection and provision that are declared by David are for the one who dwells and abides with God. You know, we can't declare these promises over ourselves if we only occasionally come into his presence, if we venture in once a week. But we can both declare them and experience them if we abide and dwell in him and with him. This week also in one of my meditations and devotions, it was based on Psalm 31. And the subtitle of that psalm is what really struck me that morning. The subtitle said, "A Psalm of Complaint and of Praise, a Psalm of David." And it's important that we recognize that David often didn't hesitate to make his complaints known to God. But he didn't complain about God. Even in his complaints, he praised and worshiped God. So it's okay. It's okay to let God know that we're not happy with the situation. But we praise him anyway, because he's worthy of our praise. And I want to change things up a little bit, because the next day, the devotion and meditation on Friday was on Psalm 32. And in that psalm, David, a man after God's own heart, says, "How blessed is he whose wrongdoing is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is a person whose guilt the Lord does not take into account, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for night and day your hand was heavy upon me, my vitality failed as with the dry heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my guilt. I said, I will confess my wrongdoing to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." You know, it's really not God that weighs heavy on us, but it's the guilt of our sin that weighs heavy on us. In 1 John 1, 5 through 10, it says this: "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." The most dangerous deceit of all is self-deceit. It's believing that we can either deny or hide our sins. We don't deceive God. Most often we don't deceive other people. We only deceive ourselves if we deny sin. When we acknowledge and confess and repent of our sins, God both forgives the sin and he removes the guilt of our sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. In Isaiah 1:8, God says this. He says, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall become white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our wrongdoings from us. Hebrews 8:12 records God saying, I will be merciful toward their wrongdoings, and their sins I will no longer remember. So the problem for many of us isn't really whether God has forgiven us, because he has. But it's whether we are able to forgive ourselves. Because we don't have the same ability that God has to forget. We sometimes judge God by our own standards or by our own ability. And we think that because we remember our sins, that perhaps God hasn't forgiven us of our sins. And so we hold on to the guilt of our sins. We judge God by our standard. And in doing that, we diminish the power of the cross and of the blood of Jesus. And we exempt ourselves from the full blessing of God's forgiveness and redemption. In Matthew 6, 14 and 15, Jesus says, for if you forgive other people for their offenses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive other people, then your Father will not forgive your offenses. And that principle also holds true if we fail to forgive ourselves. Unforgiveness is a sin, even if it's not forgiving ourselves. If we don't forgive ourselves, we can't fully receive the forgiveness of God. So in Psalm 32, the psalmist says, therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. You are my hiding place. You keep me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will advise you with my eye upon you. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near you. The sorrows of the wicked are many, but the one who trusts in the Lord, goodness will surround him. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all who are upright in heart. In Jeremiah 29:13, God says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. David was a man after God's own heart. And if we will seek God with all of our heart, we will find him. And then our hearts will align with him, and our hearts will also be upright. Like David, we can be people after the heart of God. Not perfect, but perfected in him and by him. So as we close today, I ask you to stand if you can, as I make a final declaration from the heart of David. May these words from Psalm 51 be our declaration and prayer. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the secret you will make wisdom known to me. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Cleanse me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Hide your face from my sins and wipe out all my guilty deeds. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach wrongdoers your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Save me from guilt. Save me from guilt, God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. Lord, open my lips so that my mouth may declare your praise. Amen. So, go in his declarations, go in his peace, and go in his power. Have a great day.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm digging a well in the valley.